I am unashamed. What about you?
So, yesterday, Dad, you mentioned at the end of the last podcast about somebody coming up. Was it Opelousas that got baptized?
Yeah, it came from South Louisiana, Opelousas, Louisiana.
Wait a minute. You caught Opelousas catfish, and then a person came from Opelousas,
That's the right city?
Yep.
I'm trying to make...
To be born again.
Some kind of conspiracy.
No, he watched...
Do you think they named Opelousas, Louisiana after Opelousas catfish?
I hope they did. Because we need to call Louisiana, change the name of Louisiana to Opelousas, the state of Opelousas.
The state of Opelousas. So that's a good state. So at WFR, Maine, we had a baptism as well. And it was a really cool story. It was one of those where, like, we had dismissed, and somebody's kind of getting up to come out, and somebody walks in the side door, hey, we got a baptism. So everybody just hung around. We were visiting, talking. So Derek took him up, and so this guy, he tells our church, this guy came here from some other place, but he's a drug addict, and so he was going to go into rehab today, but he wanted to get his life right and submit to Christ before he ever went about trying to get off the drugs, which was smart. Smart. But I love what he said when he went right before he baptized him. He said, you know, you're going to go into this rehab and then it'll be in a recovery house and all this. He said, but the good news is you're taking the Holy Spirit with you now, which I thought that's a pretty good line.
It is.
You know, you want to go, if you're going to go into an undertaking like that, you want to make sure the Holy Spirit's with you.
Yep,
because that's where the real power is to overcome. You know, it's like we have a great recovery.
That's why so many are just a revolving door.
Yeah, because if you're trying to do it just based on the 12 steps or the whatever, then you're not going to have the true power that the overcoming power is what the Holy Spirit does. Although I'm high on recovery houses and groups because it does a lot of good. But you got to have Jesus first. Just remember that. Somebody, you know, you don't leave Jesus out of your recovery process.
Okay. Opelousas.
Oh, here we go.
Takes its name from the Native American tribe Opelousa, who had occupied the area before European contact. French traders called coureurs de bois, trappers and hunters, arrived in the Opelousas area in the early 1740s to trade with the Opelousas Indians.
So, Opelousas originally was the name of the tribe.
Indian tribe.
There's a couple of other tidbits I have here that's interesting. Opelousas, Louisiana, is the self-declared spice capital of the world.
Yep. A lot of spices down there.
They would dab out a little seasoning on the ops.
They're actually the center of Zydeco music.
Oh, yeah, that's another.
I would dare say... that in these United States of America, the individuals who have sat down and partaken of the Opelousas catfish, if you think about an Opelousa horse, he's got these colors, you can tell him from all the other horses, Opelousas. Yep. He's got these just shades of color here, there, and the other, all the way from one end to the other.
Kind of a brownish, blackish.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the Opelousas cat, I would say that less than 1% of the United States of America, I'd say less than 1% have actually eaten these fish.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I say it's less than 0.1%.
I would say just a few people have eaten them.
You know what struck me?
They are the best eating catfish on the planet.
Amen.
And when you said you went to the Sea of Galilee.
Full of them.
And it was full of them. I said, I now know that God was there.
That's right.
Just like he said he was.
You know what I find interesting?
Because if he left that thing without Opelousas catfish, Jay said they're everywhere.
Look, I'm real big on the details of life showing you the designer or the detailer. The created thing showing the creator, however you want to go with that. And what I found fascinating, because we'd catch blue cat. Now, there are different kinds. There's over 100 different kinds of catfish.
Yep.
But just the general blue cat, when you catch a pile of them, they all look the same. Yeah. Exactly the same to the naked eye. I mean, they're a little different here and there, but an Opelousas cat, not one of them looks exactly
the same. No, they're all different.
They're all different. Now, how does that happen? I'm talking about the color pattern.
Right.
Yeah.
The blue cat, so you take the one, so take a, you know, like a channel cat has the little black dots on him.
Yep.
Now, they all look virtually the same, even though they have a different pattern. The humpback blue, they just look identical.
Yep.
Well, there's the Opelousas. They're noticeably different.
Right.
Each one is noticeably different.
And you know what's interesting? Another interesting tidbit about the Opelousas is depending on what region they are, whether it's in Oklahoma or Arkansas here, they also have different hues of color. They're darker here.
That's right.
You go up there and they're yellow. They're, yep. They some call them yellow.
Some of them call them a yellow cat.
Yeah, because they're much, much brighter color than they, here.
The first one I ever caught, I brought him home and I said, Paul, what is this thing right here? And he said, oh, that's the best eating one out of the whole bunch. He knew, my daddy knew when I caught one.
If you ate one, you would know that.
Yeah. Oh, he said, them's the best eating catfish there is.
And here's what's interesting. The mud cat looks similar to the untrained eye.
Yep.
An Opelousas cat, and he'll make you gag.
Oh, he's terrible.
That's right.
When something has the name mud in it, don't eat that.
Well, he gets his name like that because you can drain a pond, all your fish will die. But the mud cat will bury in the mud. You put water on it.
And live to tell the story. For another day.
I mean, you're talking about tough. Not only is he terrible to eat, he is tough.
Oh, yeah.
But
an Opelousas cat has very thick belly meat.
Yeah, so do I.
Up there toward his belly meat. You just lie him on a cutting board, and you take the belly meat off of him. I mean, it's no bones in it. When I dress them, when they're ready to eat, all the bony parts are like the skeleton. The after you get the meat off of them, you fry the bony parts. They're just as good too. But there's no
just
floating
as
bones.
Good. They're good.
Yeah,
but the belly meat is the best part. I just think it's interesting when you think about how we got here and you think about these verses that says, by him all things were created, Colossians 1:16, things in heaven, visible, invisible. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Yeah.
I see the evidence of that.
Yeah.
There had to be an intelligent design to this, and we're just talking about fish.
That's right.
So, I mean, that's why I tend to view problems in society. You know, everybody, the people in the political world have all their things they go, like global warming, you know, which, look, okay, maybe you're right. It has gotten 3/4 of a degree warmer. But have you ever been outside when it's 100 degrees and said, man, it feels like it's 3 degrees warmer.
I've been out there either patching a net or running a net in the early fall. You'll only see this during the early fall. It begins to cool down. And when the water on top begins to cool down, I've been sitting there working on a net or patching something or running a trot line. And I look out there in the river, and the river's is barely flowing. I mean, you can put a trammel of webbing all the way across the river. The current's all died out. It's beginning to cool down in the early fall. Many a time I've been sitting there working on a net, and I look up, and you see an Opelousas catfish. I'm not kidding now. Long as this table here.
Mm-hmm.
And look.
That's about
they just come
feet.
Up on top of the water, and they do like that. They just do like that.
Like a shark.
And I would estimate them at close to 100 pounds.
Yep.
Big fish. They'll just come up and he'll just go down like a whale. I'm sitting there, you know, catching fish for a living. And I'm like, boy, I hope he gets tangled up.
What's the biggest op you ever caught? Maybe 75 or 80 pounds?
Yep. Yep.
And you've caught.
Not around here.
Jason has a picture down on the icebox there. He's got a picture of one. He's holding him up. But he was basically his tail. From about
that one I caught?
Yeah, that one that
he was about 50,
right?
About 52, 50. That's the biggest one we caught around here. But my only point I was going to make is, to me, it's way more important viewing how these details came here than what are we going to do about it rising a degree every 100 years. I mean, that if there's a creator and you get in good with him, you're not going to have to worry
about
it.
That's why we view it differently than most people.
I think if you want to help the demeanor of the planet, we need some more spice. Like Opelousas. You know, that's a way bigger problem. I think people are just grumpy in nature because they don't season their food. That's why people love to come to Louisiana. And they're like, here's a bumper sticker. The world needs more spice.
The world needs more spice.
We need more seasoning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. Look, I didn't tell you I was going to the last podcast. I went to my first restaurant in years last night. There's a little hole in the wall restaurant that I'll take Missy to every once in a while, but it's a small place and they treat me right. I can go in the back room. Nobody knows. But last night, I
haven't tried that in years.
It was the last time
I tried it last night. Years. And let me tell you, if you go into a restaurant in West Monroe, Louisiana, I went to the Texas Roadhouse. Right off the interstate. Let me just tell you right now, you're going to be recognized. And I thought, why are all these people?
But you're on the wall there, right?
Well, I didn't know I was on the wall, Al. We're on the wall. And so
I heard.
The waitress came up.
I wonder why I'm being recognized.
Look, the waitress came
when
up.
When you're sitting under a mural of yourself.
It's and kinda... she looked at me, and I saw her look away. She looked at me. She looked away. She looked at me, and I thought, what? Are we on camera? I was thinking, what is she looking at? And I looked over there, and there's half the size of a wall. It was like me, you, Willie.
And Si, I think.
I didn't know that.
And I said, I think that's me. And she said, well, I wasn't going to say anything. Well, you didn't have to.
Did you sign it or anything?
No. Out of this place, you couldn't stick another person in there.
It's always passive.
I said, who put that up there? And she said, well, I'm sure, you know, the owners. I said, well, look, how about this? I didn't realize my picture was up there, but now that I do, how about the next time we call, since I have a picture on here, let's move us up
how about me getting
order.
The table?
Because we had to wait. They called it what did they call that? Oh, it was on my wife's phone. The queue. They're like, you're, you know, 14th in the queue. We'll sit in your car and we'll call you. That's why they do it now. I guess they learned this during COVID. I don't know. I hadn't been in a restaurant so long.
Yeah.
But it was really good. The bread was good. It was a good.
I ate at one recently in Ohio. And first time it's so funny because we were eating there because there wasn't a lot of places where we were. And I was like, you know, there's one of these at home I've never been in.
That's the first time I've been.
But steak was really good.
My daughter, she graduated high school and she wanted to go to restaurant. But when she said it was in the parking lot of where we had the parade and all, and she was like, I said, okay, I'll see y'all back at the house. And she said, well, I was thinking we would go to a restaurant. It was so funny because it just got quiet. Like, did she just say, I think we need to go to a restaurant? And I thought, and Missy looked at me, I looked at her, and I was like, let's go.
We're celebrating tonight.
We're going to a restaurant. We're living it up.
That's so funny. And it's so funny because people go all the time. Let's take a break. Well, now that the Department of Homeland Security has created a department known as the Disinformation Governance Board, and then they got the looniest person that I've ever seen to get into law enforcement.
Uh-huh.
So free speech is definitely under attack, which is why we support one of our sponsors that supports us, Patriot Mobile. They bill themselves as America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider. And they're very passionate about free speech and our constitutional rights. They offer the same nationwide coverage as all the major carriers, so you can get the same great service, plus the peace of mind knowing your money is not going to the left, which is important for many of our listeners. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget. Their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. So want to support these guys. They support us, and they think like we do. They also have veteran and first responder discounts as well. So go to patriotmobile.com/Phil, or you can call them at 972-PATRIOT. You're going to get free activation with the offer code Phil. And as I said, veterans and first responders are going to save even more to make the switch. PatriotMobile.com/Phil or call them at 972-PATRIOT.
But it wasn't that bad. I mean, you know.
Jace, you reminded me a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, I was in Mobile and I was on my way to the Southern Lair and I was picking up Mom and Lisa at the airport. And they were flying in, and their flight got delayed. So I was like, well, I guess I'll just go hang out somewhere and eat a bite. So it was a fish place out by the airport in Mobile. And so I go in there, and I walk in. There wasn't hardly anybody in there because it's like 8:30 at night, you know. But I hadn't eaten, so I thought, well, I'll just eat a little bit of fish here. And so this girl, the hostess, she's standing there, and I walk up, and I was like, just me tonight. You know, I'm looking. The place is pretty much empty. There's a few people eating at the bar. And she just looks at me and she doesn't say anything. And so long enough where it got awkward, like I thought I was looking behind me. Like, did she think I said somebody else was coming? Cause she was just looking at me and she said, did you used to be on TV? And I was like, yeah.
Well, she must've watched a lot of episodes.
I know. And so, yeah, I wasn't much on TV. I said, yeah, I used to be on TV. And she said, who are you? And I said, who do you think I am? And she said, are you one of the Robertses? And I said, yeah. And she was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. You know, she starts freaking out. She said, would it be appropriate if I took a picture with you? My dad loves you, whatever, you know. So I take the picture and I said, will it help me get my food quicker?
No.
And she started laughing. Yeah. But I was like, it was, you know, it doesn't happen to me as much as it happens to y'all, but it was kind of funny.
Well, if you don't ever go to them, I mean, it's not that that's a problem, but it's just like, if you're going to eat somewhere, because a lot of people say, well, what's the problem? Because a lot of times you go to these places, you can't even eat the meal because it turns into a meet and greet. And the whole purpose, you're kind of going there for your dog.
You're explaining why I tried it.
Well, look, it wasn't bad last night. I mean,
well, yeah. Most local, that's a local place.
If people
place.
Stare at you, if that bothers you, Phil, don't go. Because they're going to stare and you're going to hear your names kind of whispered. And it is kind of embarrassing. But all I'm saying is, it wasn't bad.
Well, I'd say the main reason we don't go to restaurants much is because our food is better than most restaurants.
Well, that's true.
I mean, that's a
which
big
gets
part
back
of it.
To the seasoning. But that place was pretty good last night.
I enjoyed that.
I mean, that bread, whew, I don't know what they do, but.
Right.
I mean, it was. I'd hurt somebody over that.
It's good. I'm not eating bread right now, but it sounds good.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Now, you were talking about the sustainer. I think that's why we don't freak out like most people do about planetary issues, even though we're all conservationists. I mean, Dad, you're one of the greatest conservationists in the state of Louisiana. I mean, you have created 1,600 acres or whatever it is of you know, habitat.
Persecutors get so angry when they bring up all these environmental issues, and they're like, I'm like, yeah, I agree with that one, and I agree with it. And they're like, well, wait a minute, you can't agree with me. You're this is not allowed. I was like, oh, no, I love the earth, and I mean, I love nature, and I spend way more time out in nature than the average person. But I also look and Hebrews 3:4 comes to mind. Every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. I'm just giving the proper credit to where the nature, what you're calling nature, that's God's evidence of creation.
Yeah, there's a different, we view the world through a different prism when we understand the creator and sustainer. Jason, I'm speaking at an environmental conference, and I think it's June the 10th in Washington, D.C.
You can make nature your God.
Yes.
You know, they exchange the truth of God and worshiped and served created things rather than the creator
who
used to be forever praised. That's Acts 1.
Oh, the two biggest responses I get in my speeches are when I say that trees don't need hugs.
People do.
Yeah. And I forgot my other one that I was just fixed to say. Oh.
Do you do it out of your Genesis 9 thing?
Oh, no, yeah, I do. I hit the Genesis 9. And the other one is, because everybody that has seen the duck show, they saw that we blow up a lot of stuff. And so when I make the point, and I have seen a lot of explosions, but I've never seen one explosion where everything came into order.
Yeah, it was usually an explosion of disorder.
So I'm like, whether the explosion happened, the Big Bang, or God allowed the Big Bang to happen, or he chose some other form of creation, y'all just made that up. Explosions don't bring things in perfect harmony in such detail, like a blue cat looking similar and an op looking
uniquely
all different, and they're of the same species. How come in the process through millions of years that we're left with that result? That didn't make any sense.
Right.
And there's no way you can twist that to even have it an attempt. And it all was the result of an explosion that randomly happened?
I built a wetland over there, and somebody said, are you going to plant trees around it and all? I said, I'm going to plant bald cypress, because when the farming community, we turned the swampland into farmland, a lot of bald cypress bit the dust.
Yep.
So I planted thousands of bald cypress. I said, I'll plant the cypress out here in this area. I'm going to make it. The Corps of Engineers had to get a permit, so I showed them what I wanted to do. I said, what would you say that looks like out there right now? So I took them over there when it was just sitting there. And they said, well, just a field full of weeds, just overgrowth of weeds. I said, what if that was a wetland? We had frogs, and we had fish, and we had ducks sliding on it. I said, what if all that right there was 40 acres up or so? I said, what if that was a wetland? Would it be better? They looked at it. They said, it would be much better. I said, that's what I want to do.
Yep.
I said, I'll plant bald cypress, but there'll be a lot of willow coming up. I said, there's not a willow tree out there. You notice that? And yeah. I said, I'm going to plant cypress around it when we do the dirt work. I said, but the cranes will plant the willows. They said, you reckon? I said, I think so. Well, now you drive over there. It hadn't been but 7 or 8 years ago.
Yep.
Now there are willow forest. Trees yeah. 30 feet tall.
Yeah.
30 feet. They just started coming up. The cranes lit in there. With them
willow you're talking about the bird, the crane, not the...
No, yeah, I'm talking
not
about
to be
the
confused.
Crane bird. Of the,
yeah,
the,
with a crane yeah. or size.
Yeah, the blue heron.
The blue heron.
Blue heron. They came over, and they had the willow bloom on their legs, and they planted them. And I looked out there, and I started seeing the willows. I said, well, here come the willows. Well, now it's bald cypress and willow brake. But you go out there and look at it now. It's one beautiful thing, way better than a field of weeds.
So I had a specialty way basketball shot called the crane.
I'm an episode.
The crane.
The birds planted it.
All right.
Well, that's why they asked me to come speak, because he said, the hunting community and the fishing community, I mean, they're some of the greatest conservationists in America. And I was like, absolutely. And I mean, who doesn't want clean streams and clean rivers and don't put pollution in there? And, you know, they finally fix this up here, where
when y'all are old men, next 20 years, y'all will be in your 70s.
Yeah.
That's how fast this thing is rolling. I'm already there.
You'll be in your 90s.
Well, if I make it that long, but I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, life is pretty short.
It is.
And especially when you're growing trees.
Yeah.
But amazingly, you stand by and look, I planted slow trees, and this year, after one decade, 10 years later, I walked out there, and I noticed they all bloomed this year.
First time
they bloomed.
Well, you remember the
they're loaded. The slows or the plug. They're plums, and they don't get ripe till August. Slow.
Well, it reminds me of that passage in Corinthians where it says, he who plants and he who waters are nothing, but only God makes things grow. Now he was talking about in the church,
right?
Sharing Jesus, but same thing with the crops. I mean, we're real innovative now, especially with technology. You got tractors that can plant a field by itself.
You
can't make that stuff grow. You put all the conditions, it's just, how's it happening?
Yeah.
So, but what I was going to say is, you know, Missy had a ministry a few years ago called Laminin, where she had these women coming out of sex trafficking and various other things. And she'd give them a job. Most of them get out of prison. They'd bring them to the Lord in prison, hand them over to Missy, where she'd give them a job. But she called it Laminin because she got that from that famous sermon by Louis Giglio, who he came up with it because he was just doing a series about how the human body, kind of what we're talking about with the earth, the human body is an evidence with God.
Yeah.
And when we just filmed this show, I remember I'm not sure if he was a believer or not, but one of the cinematographers or the cameraman, they were saying something about they got this shot and look how cool this is. And I was like, you know what's crazy? I was like, as sophisticated as a camera that is, I said, how much that thing costs? I think he said it's like $200,000. One camera, $200,000.
Oh, and they got some more than that.
I said, $200,000. Well, yeah, I remember a slow-mo shot we had in the duck show. It was like $350.
Yeah.
And
they had them up to
$500. I said, as sophisticated as that is, I said, the human eyeball is the most sophisticated camera the world has ever known. And he kind of looked up at it. He's like, well, it's not a camera. I said, oh, it's a camera.
Oh, yeah.
I said, it can intake so many scenes per millisecond and edit them and then actually get a response.
Yeah.
It's like the greatest show on earth.
It is.
The human eyeball. So that was what Giglio was pursuing, stuff like that.
Let's take a break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
And so he bumps into some molecular biologist and said, you know, he told him what he was doing. They met and he's like, well, you need to introduce Laminin. And he was like, do what? I mean, Giglio never even heard of it. And so, and y'all probably heard the story, but I don't know if everybody has, but if you hadn't, it's fascinating.
Yeah. And you can Google this speech and you know, it's on the internet, yeah. Giglio speech.
But if you look at the molecule or that, I don't know the science of it all, that holds our cells together.
Yeah, it's in the DNA strand, I think.
Yeah, DNA strand. Well, it's the shape of a cross. Which, I mean, when you read this verse in Colossians 1:16, that's why everybody went nuts in the Christian world, which is in him, or 17, in him all things hold together. They're like, so he has a picture that he shows in his presentation that is kind of squiggly a little bit.
Yeah.
And the opponents, the people who don't believe in God, they're like, well, it's a squiggly cross, though. I mean, it's it's not a true, because you know how all the religious sect of the world has all this jewelry and what I mean, you know, you walk in, everything's in the shape of a perfect cross. And so they try to make a slant on that. Well, it's not about that. I mean, what I'm telling you is I think when people look at everything through the filter of Jesus, you do notice these things. I mean, do I think it really matters one way or another? But I do think it's interesting because I just think the cells and DNA is so complex. I mean, the DNA itself is the most complex code in the world. Well, who wrote that? It's in your body.
Yeah.
Nobody wrote that unless there's a God.
And by the way, it's unique to every person.
Which goes back to the explosion. And even at the animal world, they have DNA.
Yep.
Well, who wrote all this stuff?
Oh, it's mapping and coding, you know.
As a believer, I do think when I see the cross in my key structures of molecules holding together, it's in the shape of a cross, I think, yep, I that makes it. Sense to me.
That was the most powerful part of that presentation he does to me. He shows the bigness of God. That's the same one where he talked about the if you had this some giant sun that they found in another.
Oh, I've used that many times.
And so that's the same speech. And then, but whether you're looking at the bigness of the universe and how giant everything is, down to molecular things you can't even see with the naked eye, it all shows God doing just what we've talked about in this text.
Oh, so I've done
creating
that.
Creating sustainable.
Back when I did that office speech, I think the – you know, that Canis Majoris is the one he used, which back then was like number 7 biggest star. Maybe it was number 1 when he did it.
Right.
But it was 7.
But now they found.
Now it's like
oh, that little
25th,
small.
You know. And it was so big that he had an illustration that if it was the size of a golf ball, you could fill up the state of Texas 2 foot deep in golf balls.
In golf balls. The Earth.
That many Earths in this star. Well, come on. Now, there's big and there's that.
Yeah.
And this is not even in the top 20 anymore on the biggest stars you've seen with a telescope. This place is beyond huge. That's not huge. That's a word we've yet to come up with.
Yeah. There's not a big enough word.
And there's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of these stars out here.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I mean, did it just happen in a random explosion, and then we just happened to...
That's why I said, when you base it on an explosion, and now I think we have trouble grasping that because
and
now...
And salt water, according to them, gave you the ability
few,
to recognize these things.
There's a few that go the salt water route, but how did the salt water get here, you know?
Yeah, you gotta start out with something. I mean, you got to have a...
Unfortunately for them, they start off with an explosion.
I know.
That's
I know.
A terrible place
well,
to start.
Well, it ain't because of lack of looking.
But where would you start?
They've looked at them, and the more they look, they say, if we could only find some water, liquid water, so far.
Well, the only planet that has it is ours.
That's it.
Well, so far.
And we even have planets that they found that you could drive a spaceship through.
Yeah.
You could go through the planet.
Oh, yeah, gaseous.
I mean, that's pretty amazing. And how does it stay together, but you can go through it? Well, as a believer, I'm like, oh, yeah, that resurrected body. The only other thing I know that did that was when Jesus went through a door post-resurrection. Well, there just happens to be a planet you can drive a plane through.
Uh-huh.
Seems my way works. Your way does it.
Right.
You see what I mean?
That's right.
So when you read these passages, I mean, I think it's fine to talk about these things because he covers it all. He's like, whether things on heaven, in heaven or on earth, visible or invisible, then he gets into all the powers. Then he talks about holding things together. I mean, you just think about the structure that everything has and you take out God's life-giving spirit. Which, you know, in Genesis, he says that. Even the separation from that tree and him not, I think the word is contending with their spirit, made them ultimately where they're on a path to death.
Right.
But if you could just get around him, you'll stay alive.
That's right.
Because he is life. That's what people miss. I mean,
and that was what John 1 we talked about before. I was going to read this text, Jax, because you talk about Jesus looking at it from his perspective in John 17, right before he was about to, you know, be put on the cross. He said, "Father, the time has come, verse 1, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority." He's talking third person by himself. "You granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence and the glory I had with you before the world began." I just like the way he describes that in his own words about what we're talking about in Colossians to God himself, to the Father. I mean, he's laying out exactly what we're reading about. And he says, I came here, we had this task, I'm about to do it, and then I'm going to return, and that glory is going to be the same as when we created the whole thing. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of like you just, the earth and our existence, it's kind of like you just stuck a VCR tape into this eternal thing.
Right.
Person.
Right.
I mean, he's eternal. If you're eternal, you're eternal.
Right.
So interject the planet, people, for a purpose, turn them into eternal, and then live together.
Good question to ask is, why do we, out of all things, the world to this day, irregardless of the naysayers, how in the world do you end up counting time by Jesus Christ? The reality of time, the years that come and the years that go, it's all based on him.
Oh, yeah.
Everything before him is called everything before him.
Yep.
When he arrived, everything since then, Anno Domini, year of our Lord. Do you realize how hard that would be for any individual that the world would count time by him? Whether they love him or hate him, they still count time by him. He's a time marker.
Well, I think some people are trying to change that for that reason.
Oh, I know.
But
it won't matter because he's still the marker. Let's take another break.
Well, I think that gets into this phrase that I think we should talk about, that one in 15 where it says he is the firstborn over all creation. So what do y'all think about that?
Well,
never been the first time ever God is a human being. At the same time, he's God. He's a human being and God. That right there is a tough situation for a person to say. Only one anybody ever can't pull that off. No.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if he's referring to his birth or if he's referring to the creation of like Earth and the universe.
But he was the firstborn over all creation.
Right.
Well,
never been anybody like him.
Right.
The promise was there, Genesis 3:15, but the fruition didn't come till they looked up and this heavenly host arrived. And the king said, kill them all. Kill all these babies. Good night. What's going to happen here? Well, he shows up. I mean, that was quite the feat. You know, born in a barn, basically.
Right.
You like to get him here.
Well, that goes back to that Isaiah 9 we read, that prediction that he was going to be a mighty God, wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. Well, that threatened the government.
That's why they're
looking out for that, thinking this is the most powerful being. We need to get rid of him
right
early on.
When told, remember, I'll read the Luke account. When told by an angelic being appears, and he told the angel, said the let's see, the prediction is made, and Mary, the one that's going to guide this principle that someone who is 100% human is also 100% God. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? You're saying I'm going to give birth to this being, this child. How's that going to work? I'm a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, because his Father is in heaven, not on earth, as most human beings get here. He's the firstborn over all creation. Even Elizabeth brings up old Zachariah's wife, your relative is going to have a child in her old age. God's going to do this, by the way, right down the road there. Elizabeth, you know her, right? Yeah, I know. He said, you know, she's pregnant too. She's 9 months. She's 7 months. And she was said to be barren. Couldn't have kids. And they done got old. But there's a baby coming out of those two. She's like, what? For nothing is impossible with God. I'm the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be as you have said. Then the angel took off. You talk about a while for somebody to sit down, four people, and pontificate on that particular event.
Yeah.
First born over all creation, because no sperm, no sex, and all of a sudden, he's going to come out of you, little girl. She's like, I'm a virgin. You just think about it. She said, nothing's impossible for God. He can do anything. So,
well, I think
it's quite the read.
I had a thought on this. So I read Romans 8:29, which says, for those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son.
Yep.
And the point of Colossians is for us to live a life worthy of the Lord, to become like him on earth.
Right.
And we read 1 John 3 last time, not only on the earth are we going to be like him, but we're going to be like him at the resurrection. 1 John 3 clearly says we will be like him. He will resurrect us, and we will be changed to be like him.
Which is why it says later that he's the firstborn from among the dead as well.
Right.
To your point.
But then he says that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Now, that caused me some pause when I read that, because I thought, in here in Romans, he starts off talking about us, that God's got a plan, and he called us to the plan, and we become like Jesus, somehow, in quotations, and in that process, he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. Then it says, what shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? So, and then he says, he who didn't give up his own son, he goes to the gospel,
right,
basically here. So then it made me turn over to John 1, because I had a thought about this, because John 1 parallels Colossians 1, as we said, and Philippians 2:5.
Hebrews 1.
So John says, and we're familiar with this, same terminology. In the beginning was the Word, Word's with God, Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So verse 3, if you look at John 1:3 and Colossians 1:17, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. That life was the light of men, which is what I just got through saying. He is life. So when they killed him in Acts 2, that in Peter's sermon it says, well, it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him, because he is life. Where it's impossible for us to stay alive on earth.
Yep.
It's impossible. It's the complete opposite.
Yep.
So you get the Spirit of God, because then it won't be possible for you to die. I mean, that's the draw to this.
Hang on, Jess. Let's take our last break.
But going through the process of Romans 8 and speaking of Jesus as the firstborn among the dead and him calling us to that, I mean, the firstborn of all creation, I think we've underestimated this John 1 in verse 11. It says, he came to that which is own, but his own didn't receive him, talking about the Jews, yet to all who received him. Now that's everybody. Those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And what I'm interjecting, I didn't read this in a book, and I could be wrong, but it just seems like when you look at him being the firstborn over all creation, and you think about the phrases of being a new creation, and what I'm fixed to read, of being born again, born of God, he then says, he gave us the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, but born of God.
Which is, well, to your point, Dad.
Well, yep. Jesus was the first one born of God. He's the firstborn of God.
Correct.
But all of a sudden in Romans 8, it says, you know, he called us, he predestined us. There's a plan here, which he goes through the plan right after that, saying Jesus came here.
He went around how mankind gets here, sperm, egg.
Exactly. Birth. He said, I ain't talking about that.
He said, this is not that. This is another kind of birth. And this is the first time this has ever happened.
Yeah, correct.
We got someone showing up. There was no sperm and no egg needed.
Yeah. But what I'm telling you
is, hard to get here that way.
But yeah. Two chapters later, he's telling Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Well, I think he's talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Jesus allows us, he was setting the shadow for us to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
So when he got to Colossians 1, because look, I read all the commentaries about this. And the only part I disagree with a lot of the religious world is that when they get to the mystery being revealed in the last part of Colossians 1, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, well, all of them put that post-resurrection.
Mm.
And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Because I'm like, what about when you're born again? You're born again, you have God's Holy Spirit, which Jesus embodies, and you heard about that through hearing what he did for you, but he embodies it. You can't have the Spirit without having Jesus in you, or the Father for that matter. That's correct. Embodies that. So when that happens, you've been born of God. You're like, well, how were you born again? Remember when Nicodemus said,
he went back to
the... It's like, this is not making sense. I can't be born again. I can't get back in my mother's womb. No, you're born of God. Jesus was the firstborn.
No womb necessary.
And
no egg, no sperm.
When you participate in that, and I believe it's, you know, in the vehicle he chose for us to surrender, it's not anything you're doing yourself, but when you're baptized, when we get to Colossians 2, based on who Jesus is, you're then participating, and Christ is cutting off your sinful self.
Mm-hmm.
He's returning you to your innocent virgin form.
Yep.
And you've become a new creation, and Jesus set the precedent of that on his arrival. I mean, I just think it's a possibility. That's what he's referring
to. So born again actually agrees with he was the firstborn.
He was the firstborn. And we're being born again in the Spirit of Jesus. That's why he said the mystery is the Spirit of Christ in you.
Yep. No, I think that's right, Jason. And Paul describes it in Romans.
You could make an argument we're the firstborn over all creation because we're in Jesus.
Well, he technically was the firstborn, but we're
Everybody else, the first born again
<That's right>. in Jesus.
Which is the clock is, or the counter is ticking. Well, remember Paul in Romans 5 describes Jesus in comparison to Adam. Because Adam was the first man on the earth.
Yep.
But also the first couple committed the first sin, which created a need for reconciliation, that's why Jesus had to come here. So that's the way Paul described it. He said, you know, sin, death came through a man. He said, but now life also comes through a man. And he compares it to Christ. So
each in his own turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's an accident that he chose something, baptism, that number one was not in the old law. I looked it up. It's not in there.
Nope.
Nothing about baptism in the law of law.
Nope.
It was not a law. And number two, it's something that you don't do any kind of performance in, because the act of it is you giving up your performance, desire, goals, whatever.
Right.
You giving up, and someone then does something to you in the physical part of you. You're physically not doing anything except being dunked.
Yep.
I mean, you think it's a coincidence that he chose that? There's something not in the law.
Yep.
It's not a law.
Right.
Because you can't, your performance, he's real clear on
that. Certainly not a work.
It's not a work.
Nope.
We've ruled that out.
And there's nothing magical about the water.
There's nothing magical about the water. It's not, because he addresses that in 1 Peter.
Yep.
H2O. Like you're taking a bath now.
Right.
Well, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
But it's a pledge of a good conscience towards God. Well, what is the pledge? It is that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the Son of God. And he is you just named these 12 things. He's the image of God. He's the firstborn over all creation. He's created all things. And he's created, not only was it by him, but it was for him. He created me, because we're part of that creation.
And you literally can have this.
He's above all other power, any human power, might, government. Me went through the whole list.
That's why the reality is in him.
Yeah.
Real.
Yeah.
Well, the supremacy and the reality. He's the supreme being.
Right.
There's only one. That's why when people say, well, I'd be more comfortable if you just say he wasn't the supreme, but there's only one supreme, or it wouldn't be supreme.
Right. There's a...
can't be co-supreme.
No.
One is supreme, the other's not.
That's right.
So you say, well, what do I have to be supreme? You have to have these 12 characteristics. If you're before everything, if you've conquered death, if you're over all the powers, if you can be an innocent sacrifice, you can make peace, your blood. You can create all things, not only by your hand, but for you. What else did I leave out? Whether visible, invisible.
All things hold together.
Sustainer.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be able to hold all things together. Now, that's a tricky one. But if you take God's energy out of created things, I guarantee you, I don't know what that would look like, but probably something like a shooting star, just from a global, universal perspective.
Which is a dying star, which is... All right, so we're out of time. We'll hash a little bit more of this in the overtime, if you want to follow us over.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.